HPPodCraft.com.
The Colossus. Chapter 5, The Great Lowering Forest. Shafts of daylight cut through the dusty air, immense trees, clinging mists, ghostly sounds in the atmosphere. Gaspar and Isterel walk along the riverbank, a large space between them. He steals a look at her. She catches him and he turns away, concentrating on the path. An awkward stretch of silence.
I'm embarrassed.
You shouldn't be. I admit it. I spy on people more than I should. But I'm very sheltered. In my family, the tradition is to strike out far and wide when you're old enough. But before then, it's the tower and not much else. If I did peek into your life, it's only because you're mysterious. And that's a good thing. Most people are all over their mirrors all day long. I mean, I've seen some things, let me tell you.
I was talking about the misunderstanding about the glamour and how you look.
Oh. I thought maybe that was a joke I didn't get.
I'm just not very experienced.
That's okay. Neither am I.
I mean, I've seen some things too. I chose to be sheltered, to see the world through books. But because of that, sometimes in life, I read things wrong.
He turns to her.
I feel it's best to be direct. I'm afraid of doing another stupid thing. And that fear is obviously connected to a desire for you to fall in love with me.
Oh. Well, I like you too. But I'm also just leaving home, so I worry about settling too fast for the first shiny thing.
Yep. Hey, me too. I also fear attachment.
Don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't know what else is out there. I'm inexperienced, but I've seen a lot. Most people are really disgusting.
I feel the same way. Wait, I have a ring.
That's what I meant by too fast.
No, it's a ring that a friend gave me.
Gaspar removes the ring of Abon from a pouch.
There's a demon inside of it, and if you ask it a question, it has to answer truthfully.
Oh, that makes much more sense.
He places the ring on his finger, and it glows.
I await your question.
Cosette, a tiny red demon, appears in the ruby like an evil Tinkerbell.
How many can we ask?
Wait.
Let me out and you get 5.
We have to be careful. Demons play tricks. I just want to ask one simple question. Demon, will Isterel and I fall in love?
Really?
If the answer is no, we can relax.
The answer is yes, but only if you let me out.
Oh, only if we let you out.
Yep.
That's her answer to everything.
Let me try something I know the answer to, just to see if it works.
Is Gaspard a virgin?
Let me out and he won't be anymore.
Gaspar puts the ring away, shocked.
I'm not sure if that's an answering questions demon.
Well, obviously he gave me the wrong ring. You are invasive.
I thought we were being direct.
Hello there!
They turn to see Jacques Le Loup Garou standing near. A brawny, bearded man in a nobleman's fine hose, tunic, and cap.
Why are you guys dressed like werewolves?
Gaspar freezes. Isterel steps in front of him.
What are you doing? Are you howling at me?
Gaspar leans in behind her.
That's knowing the language?
Wait a minute. I know what you guys are up to.
As he steps in close, we see his yellow eyes, long nails, and the pentagram charm around his neck. He sniffs at them.
You're pretending to be something you're not.
Gaspar's hand creeps along his belt toward his spear.
You're pretending to be wolves who turn into humans instead of the other way around. Wolf wares, right? My mother used to tell me those old stories, but I know it's all bullshit.
He clasps their shoulders roughly.
You guys are just regular old werewolves, eh?
That's right, regular werewolves.
I knew it. But why not get dressed up for the party? This is so basic. Is this your first time?
No, we've done this before.
Oh?
He's a little embarrassed. It's the first time for both of us.
I knew it. Well, come on. Don't be embarrassed. I'll take you right to the center of the action. You are now the exclusive guests of Jacques Le Loup Garou.
They look at each other, then back to Jacques, smiling. Later, the three walk together along the river.
And the fire is burning really high, and right then you throw the last piece of clothing in. Ah, you know, embrace the beast. But wait for the elders. You just watch me. When you see me naked, you'll know it's time.
We'll look forward to that.
Hey, I enjoy the chance to help somebody. The guy who wore these clothes, I killed him. Not when I was a wolf either. I killed him just like this. You know, regular guy kill.
Wow.
I know, it can get you down. All the killing. But enough of that. We're here to have fun. And I'm not going to let you two out of my sight. Mm-hmm. Come on, I know a shortcut.
Jacques dashes into the woods, away from the river, and disappears into the mist. Isterel touches Gaspar's arm.
We need to get out of here.
He suddenly appears behind them.
What are you waiting for? Come on, you two, let's go!
Le Loup Garou pushes them forward. Cut to even later. As the three continue their trip through the woods, Gaspar and Isterel notice silhouettes creeping in the mist around them.
And that's when I became Le Loup Garou. The famous highwayman. I know it's on the nose for a werewolf, but you know what's ironic? My name is actually Wolfgang.
Other voices laugh around them, snarling. Finally, they emerge into a large cleared space, wood stacked in the center for a bonfire. The day is waning. Around them everywhere are werewolves in their human forms, clustered in small groups, dressed in finery.
Ah, here we are, the scene of the crime. You know, a lot of werewolves will tell you to be fashionably late, but I did that the first time, and this guy in front of me kept standing up on a stump. His rear end was in my face the whole time. Even when he transformed, that part stays pretty much the same, you know, so really boring. Ooh! Stay right here, I see this guy I tried to kill. He'll have a good spot for us, 1 second.
Jacques scrambles off toward the bonfire. Isterel pulls Gaspard back toward the trees and then wraps her arm around his waist, studying the distracted partygoers.
We should run.
She looks into his eyes, pulls a grappling hook from her belt, and points it in the air. It shimmers and blasts into the tree, hooking and zipping them up through the branches to the treetop. Crash! Rope retracts into the grappling hook as the two land in a thick grouping of branches far above the party. Gaspar grabs the tree to steady himself.
What are you doing?
Nobody was looking. I had to take the chance.
She deftly climbs toward a break in the foliage and looks down at the clearing where Jacques has returned and is searching for them, confused. She climbs back and starts securing their position.
It's closer to the fun than I wanted, but we'll have to camp up here for the night. Help me.
He swats at a cloud of gnats, almost peers down, then stops himself, nauseous. More time passes, and the site is now packed with werewolves in human form, mingling and dancing by torchlight while musicians play. Far above them, Isterel and Gaspar have managed to make a narrow hammock between the tops of two trees, both sitting precariously with their backs against opposite trunks. Isterel peers down.
We should sleep in shifts.
With this noise, good luck. You know, actually, I think I have some sleeping powder from the apothecary.
He pours a tiny bit into his palm and leans toward Isterel.
I'll stand guard first. Just take it like snuff, and it'll put you out for a couple of hours.
She pinches some and sniffs it, then sneezes immediately, blasting the powder up into Gaspar's face. Another jump in time, and the werewolves have begun the festival. They lock arms in three concentric circles around the fire and sing... The circles contract and expand as the wolves move in, throwing clothes on the fire and dancing back into place.
Got a human soul in the fire.
Up in the treetops, Gaspar and Isterel are both fast asleep. Gaspar fidgets and rolls over, tipping the hammock. In the clearing, the werewolves rotate around the circle.
The world is darkness!
Crash, crash, thump! Gaspar plummets from the trees and hits the ground hard in front of the fire. Everybody stops dancing. He climbs to his feet, groggy. Crash, crash, thump! Isterel hits the ground behind him.
Uh-oh.
Jacques steps out from the inner circle.
Hey, what are you two doing? I was looking for you. Werewolves can't climb trees. These are the craziest werewolves I've ever met. Come on, squeeze in with me.
He lunges forward and pulls the vaguely conscious Isterel to her feet, then wraps an arm around Gaspar. Before they know it, they are in the circle with Jacques, which begins moving again with the music.
Burn a human like in the fire.
They throw clothing in the fire. Gaspar and Isterel look at each other, then throw their jackets in.
Burn a human soul in the fire.
More clothes are thrown into the blaze. The full moon breaks out of the cloud cover, shining bright in the night sky.
The world.
The werewolves begin spinning in circles, dancing frantically, twirling with Gaspard and Isterel. They look at each other and laugh despite themselves. This is pretty fun. They mimic the dance, clapping and jumping along with the group. Jacques jumps in front of them, naked as promised.
It's time!
Glitch! Long nails shoot from his hand, while yowling and grunting as the werewolves dance and change shape. Muzzles elongate, eyes glow yellow, howls ring out. Isterel and Gaspard continue the dance, mimicking transformations, howling and twitching absurdly, slowly edging out of the circle. Nobody seems to notice as they dance to the outskirts of the party, then turn and dash away into the forest. Nobody except Jacques, mid-transformation, who snarls with suspicion. Moments later, our heroes plunge through the overgrown woods in the remnants of their fur costumes, branches tearing at their flesh.
Where are we going?
This way. We need to hide.
Isterel stops short before slamming into Jacques, suddenly in front of her, still in a wolfman-esque transitional state.
Where are you going?
They back away. Three more werewolves emerge from the woods behind Jacques, fully transformed into canine-headed monsters.
We're just self-conscious. We wanted to change in private.
You're humans.
Gaspar steps in front of Isterel and holds his hand up.
Wait! If you come any closer, I'll be forced to hurt one of you.
Jacques laughs and steps forward. Gaspar waves his hand. The werewolf shrieks as his eyeball bubbles and pop! He yelps in pain and covers his face. Gaspar turns away.
That should put an end to things.
Jacques drops his hands, blood oozing from the eye socket, lifts his head, and howls angrily.
Maybe not.
Scores of howls respond in the distance. Isterel dodges out of the way. Gaspar pulls the coiled spear from his belt and it glows, snapping straight with a satisfying clang. He twirls it over his head expertly.
Stay where you are!
Two more werewolves pounce on Gaspar from the woods, tackling him to the ground. Jacques leaps forward and joins the pile. Isterel desperately searches her belt.
No!
Food!
The werewolves blast out into the air as Gaspar pushes them all away with an explosion of magical force. The other three werewolves attack. He spins the spear and swipes the legs out from under one of them, then rolls on the ground to avoid the other two. He thrusts at them aggressively with the spear, parrying their clawed swings and keeping them at bay. But Jacques and the other two wolves join them to make five, and the upended werewolf is getting to his feet behind him. He is surrounded. A compact mirror suddenly slides into the middle of the fracas. Blue light shoots out of it, and a gigantic 20-foot bear appears with an axe, roaring savagely at the wolves, its eyes smoking and gleaming. Yelping in fear, the monsters turn and scatter into the woods. Gaspar sees Isterel scoop up the compact as the image of the bear dissolves, and they run. The two crash through the brush randomly, panting. We intercut with glimpses of the growing horde of werewolves chasing them through the trees. In a small clearing, the heroes dash through a pond, and Gaspar trips, splashing into the water. Istarel runs back to help him. She looks up to see dozens of yellow eyes emerging from the trees, the woods churning with werewolves. She pulls a grappling hook from her belt and Gaspar clutches her. She aims it at the trees and they zip up just as dozens of werewolves emerge into the clearing. Whap! Gaspar smashes his head into a branch as they come to an awkward stop halfway up the tree, both grabbing on for dear life only 20 feet above the ground as she fumbles the grappling hook. We intercut with the pack gathering underneath as the hook falls to the ground. Full werewolf Jacques emerges in front of the pack, his eye socket trickling blood.
I want to go home.
Gaspar thinks, then reaches into a pouch. On the ground, Jacques places his hands on the tree trunk, howls, and begins shaking it. The other wolves join him. In the tree, Gaspar produces the ring of Abon and shakes it. It glows, and Cosette appears inside.
I await your question.
Will you help us escape?
The answer is yes, but only if you let me out.
With a sudden lurch, the two are tossed from the tree and fall to the ground yet again. Jacques towers over them and howls, preparing to feast. Gaspar closes his hand around the ring and squeezes. Boom! Ruby light explodes, and the werewolves shield their eyes, backing away. The light fades, and Cosette flutters up from the broken ruby in Gaspar's hand, still Tinkerbell-sized, looking innocent. Gaspar shrugs at Istarel.
It was worth a try.
Jacques leans over and sniffs the demon. He lifts a taloned hand and flicks at it, but Cosette flutters out of the way. The werewolf laughs. Cosette turns to Gaspar.
Thank you. You've given me my freedom. And now I give you yours.
She bows, then begins flying in a circle, faster and faster, until she becomes a whirling ruby saw blade. The wolves tilt their heads in confusion, unsure what to do. The demon saw zips forward. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Werewolves yelp as Cosette cuts through the group, severed limbs flying up into the moonlight. The wolves flee as the demon wreaks havoc, Gaspar and Istarel running in the opposite direction. The two crash through the edge of the forest into a wide grassland, the monastery and the valley to Elorn in the distance. They sprint wildly, looking back at the woods. They slow down as they see that nobody is following. Half naked, covered in sweat, they fall to the ground. Panting, they begin to laugh, rolling onto their backs. Gaspar reaches for her hand. She takes it. They lock eyes, then roll into each other and kiss. Werewolves howl, and we see Cosette shoot up from the treetops against the full moon in a shower of ruby sparks. Fade to black.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning into our virtual stage reading of The Colossus Chapter 5, The Great Lowering Forest. Chapter 6 and 7 will be available next month, small adjustment from the original timeline, and Chapter 8 will be available in October. The whole thing will be packaged together around Halloween time, and it's going to be awesome. The Colossus has been brought to you by HBPodcraft.com, Strange Studies of Strange Stories with Chris Lackey and Chad Pfeiffer, and it is based on the short story The Colossus of Elorn by Clark Ashton Smith. Colossus was written, directed, and scored by Chad Pfeiffer, with additional audio production by Eric Peabody of Viking Guitar Productions. The Colossus stars Andrew Lehman as the movie, Jamie Andrews as Istarel, Rachel Lackey as the demon Cosette, Chad Pfeiffer as Gaspard, and Jacques Delucourou. No werewolf eyeballs were hurt in the making of this production. HBPodcraft.com.